Good morning, everyone. So thankful that you've tuned in. I want to share God's word with you today and Hope Springs message this week. You know, we've been doing a series called Chase Me, and it's an invitation from the Lord, I believe, to discipleship, to truly chase Him, to get as close to Him as we can. And so we're going to spend 4 weeks total just diving in on this topic of getting just as close to Jesus as you possibly can. The scriptures tell us, you know, draw near to Him and He'll draw near to us. And that's the truth of God's word. And so there's an invitation from the Lord, I believe, in this time to just draw as close as possible as we can to Him, to Jesus. And so we're in this series called Chase Me, taking 30 days to get closer still. And we've been talking about what amazes Jesus, what moves Him. You know, what's on His list, the things that He loves. And we know some of the things on this list is faith. We saw the faith of a Roman centurion amazed Jesus. We saw when His team gets it, when He was exuberant in the Holy Spirit and overjoyed in the Holy Spirit because His team got it and because they were seeing the kingdom in their ministry, and most of all because they had started to develop intimacy with His Father in heaven. Compassion is on Jesus's list. Nearly every week we've talked about compassion and how important compassion is to the Lord. And then today I want to talk about what gets Him hot, what bothers Him, what gets Him stirred up. You know, that can tell us a lot about how to draw near to a person, what matters to a person, what really just grieves them or bothers them. And so we're going to talk about some of that from Luke chapter 12 as Jesus is getting closer to the cross and His ministry is getting more intense as He draws near to His assignment to die for the sins of the world, to give His life for us, to save us through His pure and spotless and sinless life. And so it's getting intense for Jesus. And so in this passage, we're going to see a little bit about what bothers Him. You know, I had a friend is allergic to cologne or perfume or anything with fragrance. And that was one of the things that bothered Him. If you smells and if He got near certain things, those things bothered Him. And that was important to having a close relationship with Him, to having a good friendship with Him. And so sometimes if we want to get closer to a person, we have to know what bothers them. And so in Luke chapter 12, we're going to examine some of the things that would keep us from a deeper walk with God, would keep us from a deeper intimacy. And sometimes the best way to get to know someone is to listen to them speak, to hear them in conversation, to hear them speak from their heart and what moves them. And so we're just mainly today, we're going to look at Luke chapter 12, which is a huge portion of Jesus's teaching. This whole chapter of Luke chapter 12 is Jesus preaching and teaching. And so it's very important. It gives you kind of that sense of this is holy ground. This is a place where I should maybe take my shoes off because it's holy, because Jesus, the Son of God, is going to preach and teach. And so we're going to give the majority of our time to listening to Jesus preach today. And it begins in Luke chapter 12. Meanwhile, the crowds grew until thousands were milling about and stepping on each other. Jesus turned first to His disciples and warned them, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, their hypocrisy. The time is coming when everything that's covered up will be revealed and all that's secret will be made known to all. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the rooftops." And so Jesus begins His list today of things that bother Him, and at the very top of the list is hypocrisy. Now, hypocrisy is the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. The practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. That's hypocrisy, and that's one of the things that bothers Jesus. And He's speaking to a very large crowd. He turns to His disciples and says, "Beware of hypocrisy. You know, I've been doing a Bible study over the on Wednesday for Wednesday nights that you can do on your own or with friends, small groups. This past few months has been on leadership. As the priesthood of all believers, we need to grow as leaders. And so I've been really focusing in on leadership and how to grow as the priesthood of all believers. And one of the past couple weeks, I talked about congruency and how congruency is so important to leadership. You know, congruence is the quality of agreeing, coinciding, or corresponding. And Jesus is saying in terms of hypocrisy, hey, these religious leaders, they say they're about this, but truly, they're about something very different. And Jesus is trying to separate himself from that movement that is caustic, and it's not life-giving, and it's just offering no hope to others. And Jesus wants to distance himself from that. And he tells this large group of people, hey, beware of hypocrisy. You know, we need to be congruent. We need to live out the truth. We need to be the same person in the dark as we are in the light. Our words need to match what we say our lives are about. Even our words in secret need to be words of light. And so Jesus is saying one of the things on the list that will keep you from a deep walk with God is this thing called hypocrisy. So let's all pray that our lives would be congruent with the gospel and with what Jesus says. And Jesus says this in verse 4. Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. But I tell you whom to fear. Fear God, who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, he's the one to fear. What is the price of 5 sparrows? 2 copper coins? Yet God does not forget a single one of them. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid, for you are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. I tell you the truth, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, the Son of Man will also acknowledge in the presence of God's angels. But anyone who denies me here on earth will be denied before God's angels. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when you're brought to trial in the synagogues and before rulers and authorities, don't worry about how to defend yourselves or what to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what needs to be said. And so Jesus, he confronts fear. One of the things on the list is fear, one of the things that keeps us from a deeper walk with God. A close fellowship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One of those things that keeps us from that is fear. And now perfect love casts out all fear, the scriptures say. And so Jesus said it all starts with a godly fear, a reverence, a holy fear of God, a reverence for God. And that's the only thing that God wants you to fear, to be God-fearing, to be one who reverences God above all else. And Jesus says, don't fear anything else. You know, the Bible says 366 times, one time for every day of the year, plus one, don't be afraid. And so Jesus says, hey, perfect love casts out all fear. If you want a deep walk with God, we have to get rid of fear. The only type of fear we want is the reverential fear of God, that honoring, holy fear of God. And that Jesus wants to help us to get free of fear, and that comes from knowing how much he loves us. Perfect love casts out all fear. You're loved more than anything else. And Jesus showed his love on the cross, dying for you. What more could he give? And Jesus says, let that love cast out all fear in your life. Let that love get you free from fear in your life. You know, Jesus wants us to have a holy confidence in him. He can protect us. He can take care of us. He loves us and he's for us. And so Jesus continues in verse 13. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." So apparently, you know, in this culture, the older brother, the father had died in this culture, and the older brother received the estate, which is typical, and then he would be in charge of dispersing funds as needed for other siblings. And so this apparently is the younger brother. "Please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Jesus doesn't want to cause further division between these brothers. He hopes for something more. In verse 15, then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Then he told them a story. "A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, 'What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops.' Then he said, 'I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." And so Jesus takes this apparent interruption, and he seizes it as a divine moment to minister to this crowd of people and say, hey, one of the things on the list that will keep you from a deep relationship with God, from drawing close, from chasing God, is greed. One of the things that will keep you from that deep intimacy with God is greed. And it's foolishness, Jesus says. You know, Jesus considers it foolishness. It's one of the things that bothers him. And he's saying, hey, if you want a deeper walk with me over this next 30 days, let's confront greed. Let's confront fear. You know, let's get in the face of hypocrisy. And as we push those things away, we find ourselves getting nearer to Jesus. And so Jesus continues in verse 22. Then turning to the disciples, he said, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he'll give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven, and the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. Where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." And so Jesus, he confronts something else here. He confronts worry. And, you know, he tells this rich young ruler, you know, he tells this younger brother and the older brother who's a rich ruler, he tells them, you know, a rich relationship with God is what really matters. Greed's going to get in the way. Greed is foolishness. And then he goes on to the ones who are maybe worrying about how they're going to make it. Maybe the other family members from this story that are struggling with, well, how do we make it? Jesus says, don't worry. You know, your Father knows your needs and your Father will care for you. And so Jesus is saying, hey, worry is going to create a distance. Worry is going to keep you from that close walk with God, from drawing near. And so Jesus would confront our worry. And again, Jesus is confronting hypocrisy. Jesus is confronting fear. Jesus is confronting greed. He's confronting worry. And all the while, he's saying, God cares for you. God loves you. Be true to God. Trust him. Have faith in him. You know, push these worries, push these things aside so that you can draw nearer, so that you can have a rich relationship with God. That's the whole point of this passage. A rich relationship with God is made available by drawing near to him and also drawing away from other things. And Jesus is telling us today what to draw away from. What to draw away from, which will create a closeness with God. A closeness that we can get so near to him, we didn't even think it was possible. A.W. Tozer said, you can have as much of God as you want. And so Jesus is showing us the way. This is how to get closer. This is how to develop friendship with God, nearness with God. And so in verse 35, Jesus continues his sermon to this large crowd. And he says this, be dressed for service. And the imagery is in the New Testament times, they would have long cloaks, almost down to ankle length. And when it was time to work, they would put on a belt to hike up their cloak so that they could do active work and the cloak would not get in the way. And so verse 35 says, be dressed for service. Keep your lamps burning. Keep oil in your lamps. Keep the fire of the Holy Spirit within you. Be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning as though you are waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them. Put on an apron and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Understand this, if a house owner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. And so Jesus tells another story that is just eye-opening, causes all those who hear for their jaws to drop in amazement. Just Jesus tells this incredible story. Be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning as though you're waiting for your master to return from a wedding feast. In everybody's mind, this is a story that gripped every heart. Your master is at a wedding feast. And you're waiting. You've seen him depart. Now you're waiting for him to return. And he says, be ready and waiting, dressed and ready to go. Then you'll be ready to open the door and let him in when he arrives and knocks. And so just picture this noble master leaving, going to this incredible celebration. He leaves, departs the celebration, heads home. The servants don't know when he's going to arrive. And he says, be ready with the lamps ready, already burning and already dressed, so that when he gives that gentle knock at the door, boom, you're ready to open the door when he arrives. And he says this, the servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. Remember, Jesus is preaching here. This is holy ground. He's saying the servants who are ready and waiting when he returns will be rewarded. I tell you the truth. This is when Jesus says in the King James, verily, verily, I say unto you, I tell you the truth. Again, I say, here's the truth. This is Jesus's highlight moment. He's saying, pay attention, please, everyone, pay attention. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. He himself, that's the master of the house. It's God. He himself, Jesus is saying when he returns, he himself will seat them around his table, the king's table, around the master's table. They'll recline at the table around his table. He himself will put on an apron and serve them as they sit and eat. Amazing. Jesus says, verily, verily, I tell you the truth, the master himself will serve the servants who are ready and waiting. This is incredible. This is so humbling. This is one of those moments where Peter says, no, Lord, not my feet. Don't wash my feet. I'm not worthy. And Jesus says, verily, verily, I tell you the truth, when I return and I find those who are ready and waiting and their lamps are burning and they're still serving and they're paying attention and they're watching, there'll be a reward for them. He says, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn. But whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. He'll reward the servants who are ready. What can keep us from a deep walk with God? What can keep us with close intimacy with God? What can keep us from drawing close to him? It's a lack of readiness. It's complacency. Complacency is a feeling of smug or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements. And Jesus is saying, push away complacency. Get ready. Get attentive. Watch. Keep yourself aflame with the Holy Spirit. You know, don't fall asleep in this time. Arise and be ready. Be serving. Whenever he comes, he'll reward the servants who are ready. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also be ready all the time. Martin Luther said, I have 2 days on my calendar, today and that day, the day of the Lord's return. Be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. And Peter asked, Lord, is that illustration just for us or for everyone? Jesus is speaking to his disciples in the context of a sea of people. And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there'll be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant thinks my master won't be back for a while and he begins beating the other servants and partying and getting drunk? The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he'll cut the servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. And a servant who knows what the master wants but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only a little. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. And so Jesus is saying to Peter, man, Peter, much has been given to you, much is required. And Peter was slow maybe in getting it, but he got the message and he gave it all. And he lived for Jesus. He didn't live in complacency. He gave it all. And I believe this is a time for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a time for us to draw nearer and nearer to God. gas prices in this time are at an all-time low, and I believe the Holy Spirit's saying to each of us, you know, now's the time to get filled with the oil of God. Now's the time to get filled up. And this time where God's hit the pause button and the reset, get filled up with the fullness of God. Be ready to serve. Get ready to follow God in one of the greatest moves of history and revival. And now's the time for us as the church to get filled up, to get restored, to get refreshed, to get renewed, to get full, to be ready, to push off complacency, because God is getting ready to do some of the greatest work he's ever done in the history of the world. And so I love what Kenneth Bailey says. He says, discipleship is defined as slavery to a self-sacrificing master. And that's what we see in Jesus. Discipleship is slavery to a self-sacrificing master, which eventually turns out to be the most freeing thing in all the world. We don't serve God to get something. We serve him because he loved us first, and his love brings us alive. His love brings us freedom. His love brings us a purpose to live. His love brings us joy. His love shows us the way life works, because it doesn't work any other way. And we find out in this discipleship, this loving slavery almost, this loving service to God, we find out that the one that we are serving serves us. It's incredible to think about. He is a master who sacrificed himself to save us. He's a master who washes our feet. He's a master who loves us so much. He's given us every good thing. He's created us. It's amazing. And so we define discipleship as giving ourselves completely away as he gives himself completely to us. And it's incredible. It's incredible. There's nothing better than the Christian life. There's nothing better than a life laid down in obedience to God, in submission to God. We find it's the greatest treasure in all the world. It's absolute, pure, unadulterated freedom, breakthrough, joy, hope, encouragement, everything that we need. It's amazing. And so Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to get close to me, there are things on a different list that you need to push away. And as you push them away, you'll find yourself getting closer to me. Things like complacency, a lack of readiness, worry, greed, fear, hypocrisy, speaking that doesn't edify, you know, foolishness. Push these things away. And as you do, you'll find yourself in the very heart of freedom. And so, in closing, Jesus speaks about forces that are diametrically opposed. Jesus says in verse 49, I've come to set the world on fire, and I wish it were already burning. I've come to set the world on fire, and I wish it were already burning. The fires of the Holy Spirit. I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I'm under a heavy burden until it's accomplished. Remember, Jesus is getting closer to the cross, and we can see that now. Luke chapter 12, the burden's becoming heavier. And I'm under a heavy burden until it's accomplished. Verse 51, do you think I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I've come to divide people against each other. From now on, families will be split apart, three in favor of me, two against me. Three in favor of me and two against, or two in favor and three against. Father will be divided against son, son against father, mother against daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, whenever you see the clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, here comes a shower, and you're right. And when the south wind blows, you say, today will be a scorcher, and it is. You fools, you know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times. And so Jesus starts off saying, hey, there's going to be division because of me. We see this so clearly in places in the world where persecution is happening, where families are just turn on each other and disown one another and even harm one another because of Jesus. I'd highly challenge you to read on a regular basis Voice of the Martyrs magazine. It's a powerful magazine, and it'll strengthen your discipleship. You can get it for free, I believe. Get on the internet. I think it's persecution.com, and you'll see Voice of the Martyrs, and you can get their free publication, and you'll see all over the world, even families being divided over the person of Jesus. And yet he's the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus says, hey, there's a problem. You can discern the weather. You know, when you see clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, here comes a shower. And you're right. And when the south winds blow, you say, today will be a scorcher. And you're right. And it is. And you fools, you know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret these present times. And Jesus is saying, hey, you're not watching. You're not discerning. And verse 57, why can't you decide for yourselves what is right? When you're on the way to court with your accuser, and I can't help but think of Jesus looking at these two brothers arguing over property out there in the crowd. Why can't you decide for yourselves what is right? When you are on the way to court with your accuser, try to settle the matter before you get there. Otherwise, your accuser may drag you before the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, who will throw you into prison. And if that happens, you won't be free again until you've paid the very last penny. And so Jesus says another thing that just can create distance between us is being undiscerning. If you're undiscerning, it's going to create distance. We need to be discerning. We need to know what times we're in. We need to know the right way. And all of this comes through relationship with God. All of this comes through relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be discerning, Jesus is saying. So this book, it's truth. It will guide you on. Luke chapter 12 is a message from Jesus. That's a holy message. It's a message in which we should take off our shoes because it's holy ground. And so Jesus, he speaks through his word, and he invites us to hear him. Let him speak. Let him speak to you. Let Jesus speak to you daily. Let his message transform your life. And so the very heart of this message is draw near to God. And as you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. And there are things in our lives that we need to push away so that we can get close to Jesus. We need to push away a lack of discernment regarding the times in which we live. We need to push away complacency and the lack of readiness. We need to push away worry because it gets our focus on everything else but God. We need to push away greed because it, again, distracts us from what really matters. We need to push away fear. The only one we fear is God, and we reverence him, and we hold him in holy adoration. We need to push away speech that's unedifying. We need to push away hypocrisy and this lack of congruence. And as we do, we'll find ourselves so close to our rabbi, so close to our Jesus, our master, our king. And so I want to pray for you today. Thank you for allowing me to preach to you. It's an honor to preach to you. Thank you for allowing me to continue to minister to you in this time. And I'd love to pray for you. Lord, I pray for all those who are watching today. I pray for all those who are watching that you would touch them right there in their home or wherever they're listening to this, that you would touch them in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would give them grace, that you would give them joy, that you would give them power, that in this time, in this month, they would draw nearer to you than they've ever been in their lives, that they could look at this time and say, I am closer to God than I've ever been. And so, God, I pray that you'd touch every home, every family. I pray, Lord God, for fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit, a fresh filling of your oil in their lives. Let them be watching and ready and full of your fire. We ask that you would use us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Tune into our website and our Facebook page for updates. And God is for you. He's with you. He loves you. And I just want to say you're special. You're so special to God. God bless you.